is Sweet Georgia Brown. Be an interesting sound, wouldn't it? Indian traditional music meeting bluegrass. Well, it's now 13 minutes past 12. There's a new jazz CD out on Ode's new jazz label, Manu Jazz. It's called Session One, and it's the New Zealand debut of the Dan Paparani Trio, based in Auckland. Dan Paparani on piano, Pete McGregor on bass, and Owen Kneebone on drums. Dan was born in Israel and came out to New Zealand in his early 20s. He had studied drums for a short while in Tel Aviv and enrolled at the Massey Conservatory of Music in Wellington when he arrived, studying drums again with Roger Sellers. Then he moved to jazz piano in his third year. He now plays at jazz festivals around the North Island and has a residency at the MLC Bar in Auckland, as well as teaching. His style is compared to Bill Evans. Quote, download music. Dan has some amazing piano hands with his effortless instrumental sliding between mellow rolls and upbeat jazz. It makes you realise why the piano is such a powerful instrument. It's very laid back, very Bill Evans, as I said. So before he joins us, let's hear him play. My Foolish Heart, the young Washington tune, recorded there by Dan Paparani. And Dan joins me now from Auckland. Dan, I was mentioning Bill Evans in the introduction. Is he a conscious influence on you?
Most definitely, yes. I fell in love with Bill music during the time, during my study at Wellington Conservatorium of Music. And from that point, I've deliberately set my playing to try and if you like emulate. But then I thought to myself, well, I'll use this just as a reference, and then later on I'll develop my own style. And I'm really happy that's the way that it's been progressing and progressing well.
So is that why you switched to piano? Because you actually began on the drums, didn't you?
Yes, I studied drums, and it got to the point where I felt being a drummer somewhat disadvantaged with comparison to being on a different instrument, a musical instrument, where you can compose. You can still compose when you're a drummer, but it's a bit hard to express yourself in your own composition when you're a drummer. If you want to create a composition for a trio, let's say. I've switched to piano, and I found myself able to do all those things that as a drummer I was unable to do.
That's quite extraordinary, because I mean, you must have been what, 24 or 25 when you first started to play the piano. How could you do that? How can you suddenly be so good?
Thanks for the compliment. A lot of hard work and dedication, and a lot of frustration, a lot of frustrations. But it is a beautiful process where you set a goal and you just go about, realizing it. I remember still doing drums, still majoring in drums at conservatorium, studying with Roger Sellers, which was an amazing and still amazing tutor at the conservatorium. And at the same time as practicing drums, trying to find time to practice the piano, and going to a practice room, booking a piano and practicing piano, coming out of the piano, out of the practicing room, and hearing comments of people who doesn't really understand why I'm sort of doing that, but saying things like, oh, then are you trying to be a concert pianist or something like this? Not really understanding that move. And it was a bit of a hidden agenda for a while, until I've officially changed it to piano.
I see. So to prove to them that you could actually do it.
yes, I.
You must have a natural aptitude for the ivories, though. I mean, do you feel that the piano is a more natural and comfortable instrument for you than the drums?
The piano is a remarkable instrument in a way that it's allows you to have a control, you have the harmony in your left hand, you have the melody in your right hand, and the rhythm on top of it. And you can be an orchestra if you wish to. I mean, you've got so much possibilities on the piano. That wasn't really what's the main attraction. My main attraction was the sound of a trio, and the sound of the, of course, Bill Evans and the Keith Jarrett type, which everyone dig this kind of stuff. But that what was my main reason for shifting to major on piano, and to be more precise, I remember that Roger Sellers, again my drum instructor, gave me a CD of a copy of Bill Evans' duo album with Eddie Gomez, and it was Intuition, of course. The name of the album, Intuition, and he said, go along and practice with it. There's no drummer on it, but as a drummer, I think it'd be useful for you to just, feel how, just play along with that album, which I did. And I sort of thought to myself, yeah, great music. But at that time, for some reason, didn't catch me at that stage. And later on, when in one of my visits to Israel, I remember going to one of the city shops in Tel Aviv and asking, What it did, though, it happened my opened up my curiosity to that type of music, probably as a result of playing along to that album. And asked the record store salesperson, do you have any albums that you recommend in particular? And he said, oh, we've got this and that and that, but we also have Bill Evans. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, Bill Evans, okay. Do you have something else with a bit more kind of flashy stuff, a bit more kind of, how shall I say, hard stuff, you know, where pianists go flat out, and because for some reason I wanted to hear that. And he said, blah, 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 blah. And then I said to him, okay, I'm going to have to think about it. I came back 10 minutes and I said, okay, give me that Bill Evans album. And I took it, had listened to it, and from that point, the rest, as they say, is history.
Really?
Yeah.
So, obviously, in Israel, the jazz scene is, you know, it's well known. Jazz is popular over there, is it?
Jazz is popular. I think they, mind you, it's still small. And with comparison to New Zealand, there's one big advantage, and the advantage is there's a lot of musicians coming from Europe and the States on a regular basis, where, you know, but you know, it's a bit harder for a working musician to come to New Zealand because they have to pay for all the traveling costs and this and that. So that's the only difference here.
So the sort of indigenous jazz scene is maybe smaller, but then you've got many more visiting artists.
That's right, yes, there's more exposure to live music.
Right. Yeah. Dan, tell me about growing up in Tel Aviv.
There was a happy time for me. I was born in Tel Aviv, and then my family moved to, a suburb of Tel Aviv, which is called Petah Tikva, and it's just about 20 minutes out of Tel Aviv, and I wasn't much into music. In fact, I remember just playing soccer most of the time, hanging out with the kids. Neighborhood kids, because in Israel you realize there's whole apartments blocks. There's no such a thing as houses like here. And then what you do, there's maybe an average 6-story apartment where the kids are just after school going downstairs and playing together, and usually playing soccer or hide and seek, whatever. And that's the focus of my childhood was playing soccer heaps and, you know, just getting into mischief, not too much.
And then as a teenager, you got into the drums, didn't you?
Yes. In fact, the drums was an agreement that I had with my father. He said, well, you want drum kit, you're going to have to improve your marks, you improve your studies. And
did you?
Well, I did. I managed to, I finished 12 years of study in Israel, which pleased my father. Not in a great marks or anything, but it was sufficient enough to, finish it. And because it's important in Israel when you look for a job and you say to your future employer, well, I've got 12 years of study, that's an important, otherwise, they'll look twice.
Is the job market very competitive, and the schooling system, is it very intensive over there, or what's it like?
Very, very intense. The only thing close would be there, I would say, New Zealand is Auckland, of course, which getting close. But the competitiveness in Tel Aviv is unreal.
Presumably, of course, as for all men, you would have had then to go and do your army service.
Yes.
What was that like as a musician?
Well, the thing is that during that time in the army, I had nothing to do with. There was no music whatsoever, and it was a difficult time for me. It was 3 years that I didn't really enjoy. I had to do it because, you have to do this. It's compulsory in Israel. But it wasn't, it, you know, looking back, it's time that I can say happily, I'm glad it's over. Fortunately, I was in a period of time when there wasn't any major conflicts, so I didn't have to shoot anyone and no one had to shoot me, you know, blah, 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 blah. But nevertheless, I mean, it wasn't a period of time when I can say I had good time.
What was the opinion of your school friends? You know, when you all knew that you had to do this, and there you are saying that you're in the situation where you're expected to kill someone, and yet, you know, you're not professional soldiers. You're a musician. What was the general feeling among your friends?
Well, a lot of people going to the army with a view of, you know, servicing, you know, your country and do the obligation, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know, it's just the culture there that you have to go and do it. And there's not much you can do about it. The only way that you can get out of the army, if you can, you know, convince the selection process that you're a bit mental or something. It was an option for me, but I've decided not to go that way because it will. The consequences would have been that the whole future in Israel would have been under that stigma of being unstable.
Because presumably you have a stamp on a certificate that you have to give to employers or something, do you? And they see that you're unstable and
similar. Yes.
I'm going to employ you.
Yes.
Can you leave the country? What happens if you try and leave the country to avoid it?
Of course, yes, you can leave the country. I'm not too. It's been quite a while, but I think that it gets to a point where there's a deadline where you sort of, if you don't leave the country, let's say a few months before, I might be wrong, but as far as I remember, there's a certain period of time where you have to be in the country before you actually service starts.
Maybe they arrest you.
Well, they will get hold of you and they'll put you in the, you know, they'll put you...
They'll get you somehow.
Back, yeah.
What are your thoughts, Dan, if I can ask? What are your thoughts about, you know, the conflicts, the terrible politics of the situation, the suicide bombers?
Sure. It's a big, tragedy and, you're looking at a person who's coming from a left, and I'm a member of Shalom Achshav, which means Peace Now. It's a Peace Now group that, you know, preaching on returning of the, basically coexistence. Give them the areas, let them live their own lives, let Israelis live their own lives. And, at the moment, unfortunately, that side of the left in Israel is very weak because of all the... you know, all the mess, if I can call it that, that's been turning people the other way, wanting security rather than being reasonable.
So your peace group wants the Israelis and Palestinians to live together and for them to have... You know,
well, most Israelis wants that, all Israelis wants that. The thing is how they go about it.
And, really?
Yeah.
What's your perception of the media coverage that comes to New Zealand, for instance? From your experience of the situation firsthand,
with regard to the situation in Israel,
yes,
it's I have no.
Do you think it's balanced? Do we hear enough about peace groups like yours?
No, you don't, because as I said, this aspect now in Israel, it's a bit weak. The left wing, I mean, the major party in Israel called the Avodah, which is the leftist, they have basically been demolished by the rightist, and they're not doing very well at all.
Do you still have family over there, Dan?
Yes, I have. I got my father, basically my parents and my grandparents and, you know, uncles, aunties.
Do they feel safe there?
You feel safe if you live in the city now. But people who live in the how shall I say, the occupied areas or the areas to be returned to the Palestinians are not feeling safe.
Obviously you go back there fairly frequently, do you?
I went back there 4 times since I've been, since my first time in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. That was 16 years ago.
Well, originally back to New Zealand.
Good subject.
Happy subject. I know you want to talk about music, Dan, rather than be quizzed about your political
opinions. No, I do appreciate that a lot of people are curious about it, as New Zealand being a remote place and blah, 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 blah.
Well, why did you come to New Zealand originally?
I met my wife, Tracy, in Tel Aviv. And, I think I've mentioned it before, we've came for a couple of months just, you know, to see the place.
She's a New Zealander?
Yes, she is. She was born in Whanganui. And, in fact, her family lives in Whanganui, still in Whanganui. And, we just came here and it was too good to leave. So we ended up staying here. Had kids, had family, you know. And that's where we are now.
And then you became a jazz musician, you've done all this study, and now you've established the Dan Paparani Trio. You mentioned before, Dan, your own composing. Does any of your Israeli experience influence your composing now?
No, I get a lot of, comments about it. They say, oh, you're slick, you're Jewish, and you should do this and that, and you should be incorporating some... I grew up listening to this kind of music, but my, if you like, jazz philosophy is based on the, if you like, American European, which is based on the popular songs, you know, in the 40s and 30s, whatever. So, having said that, there's a lot of artists in Israel who do successfully incorporate the sound, but maybe it's one of the future projects that I should take on and try and do something like this. But at the moment, I can tell you that jazz thing is enough for me. It keeps me busy. Yeah.
Well, tell me about the trio, the Dan Paparani Trio. You've got Pete McGregor on bass and Owen Nebo on drums. Both, you know, very well-established jazz musicians.
Yes, they are.
How did you get the trio together?
Okay, I was a very frustrated jazz pianist in Wellington. I had a few gigs, but it wasn't... was basically going nowhere. And I've decided, well, I'm going to stop being Dan Paparani and I'm going to be someone who's going to do something different. And I've decided to, you know, try and tackle that issue a bit more aggressively. So I rang, I send material to all sorts of places, including Australia. And one of those places that I've sent was Pete, who has an agency. A few days later, it must have been like a week and a half later, Pete rang me and said, I've got a gig for you in Wellington. And when I sent him the material, I said, well, I'm thinking of coming to Auckland to live and I want to check out the stuff. Is there any gigs you can give me? And here he is giving me a call and asking me, can I do a gig in Wellington, you know? So I said, yes, of course. And I took that gig, and that was my last gig in Wellington. And I decided to, at that time, of course, I got, I was successful, yeah. I was successful getting the job, being a teacher in charge of the music department at Hato Petra College on the North Shore.
So you moved to Auckland.
And I moved to Auckland.
And you managed to reform the trio. What's your impression of the Auckland jazz scene as compared to Wellington?
I love the jazz scene in Auckland. With comparison to, from my personal point of view, for my personal taste, I feel at home here because Wellington jazz scene is very experimental, and it's either bebopish or experimental, kind of, you know, could free form and that kind of stuff. There's not a heck of a lot of emphasis on music that I've I love the standards, the old standards, what I perceive as melodic kind of music. And when I came to Auckland, I was feeling at home. A lot of people share this view. I'm not saying that all people in Wellington are like that, but the majority is certainly very experimental. It's a very arty kind of a place, Wellington.
I'd probably agree with you, I have to say, from my experience of talking to jazz musicians here.
Mm.
I guess it's important to find musicians, you know, when you're forming a trio like you've done, it's important to find musicians who have the same idea about music as you and want to be doing the same thing.
Exactly. The trio, Pete and Owen, they all share the same affinity to the music and the love for that style, and when we get together, it's just a ball. It's great.
Well, now you've got your debut album out, Dan. You must be proud of it, are you?
Yes, I am. And it was as I mentioned to you before, I was even though coming to Auckland, although things started to improve for myself, I thought to myself, well, I need to do something a bit more aggressive than what I am now. And I've approached few labels, local labels in Auckland, and one of the labels, Old Records, Adam, who's the manager of that label, gave me the break, and he said, "Dan, we need to speak." And I said, "Yeah, sure, you tell me when and I'll be there." And he gave me a few options about career wise and I've chosen the one that a full release in New Zealand, and we've decided to go that way, and that's the product that you see now.
And will you stick together? Will there be more albums?
Oh yes, we've recorded another one, and it's to be released next year. The same label with Odd Records.
And how about your family? Will they be visiting out from Israel to see you and your children? You hope so.
I hope so. They've been here a few times, but it is a long trip and costly trip from Israel.
Well, let's go out on Stella by Starlight. Dan Paparani, all the best. Happy Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, I suppose I should say, should
yes,
I?
Yes, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Dan Paparani Trio. That was Stella by Starlight, the famous young Washington tune on